Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Mail Order Massacres by Hunter Shea. Narrated by Scott McCormick. With performances by Al Twanmo, Alejandro Ruiz, Amanda Forstrom, Bradley Smith, Bruce Allen Rauscher, Chris Stinson, Christopher Walker, Colleen Delaney, Danny Stoller, David Jordan, Drew Copas, Dylan Lynch, Eric Messner, Eva Wilhelm, Evan Casey, Harley Gordon, Jacob Yeh, Joe Mallon, Jonathan Church, Katie Karkoff, Ken Jackson, Kenyatta Rogers, Lynette Rothnum, Marnie Penning, Matthew Bassett, Matthew Keenan, Matthew Schley, Michael Glenn, Michael Jock Casey, Nanette Savard, Nathaniel Perry, Paul Reisman, Scott Graham, Terrence Azelford, Tia Shearer, Tony Nam, Yasmin Twazan, and Zeke Alton. Mail Order Massacres, Optical Delusion.
If there was one thing Martin Blackstone truly hated, it was being disturbed during the 2 hours he allowed himself at night to watch television. After working all day at the factory, was it too much to ask for 2 goddamn hours of peace and quiet? Especially tonight, Charlie's Angel Night. Even Andrea knew not to bother him when Charlie's Angels was on. All his buddies wanted a piece of that Farah, but Blackstone had never been into blondes, no matter how pointy their nipples were poking out of red bathing suits on posters. No, he was a Jacqueline Smith man. That girl was especially crafted by God himself. He'd never kick her out of bed for eating crackers, that was for sure. Not that his wife was some slouch. Back in her prime, she could turn heads with the best of them. She was still attractive, but mommy attractive. Jacqueline Smith was on a whole different level. He bet she'd be hot even when she was in her 70s.
Keep it down up there!
The angels were running. He daren't take his eyes off the tube. Unfortunately, it wasn't one of those slow motion shots.
It's just the boys having a little fun.
Andrea was crocheting yet another baby blanket. Blackstone often wondered if any of their neighbors knew about the miracle of condoms. It seemed someone was coming up pregnant every month. Crazy Italian Catholics. Here they were, having all kinds of irresponsible fun, not one of them thinking how it kept his wife doing hard labor, crocheting blanket after blanket like an enslaved seamstress.
They can have fun without breaking through the floor.
Andrea waited until the commercial to speak again.
Brian's been cooped up all week. He needs to blow off a little steam.
Blackstone shook his empty beer can. Andrea got up to get him another.
Kid had all day to get it out of his system.
He pumped the rest leg up on his brand spanking new lounger. It was so comfortable that on some nights, he started fights with Andrea just to have an excuse to come downstairs and sleep on it.
Noel had school, then he had to go home and do his homework and wait for dinner. Brian was practically jumping out of his skin waiting for him to get here.
She handed him a cold Schaefer. They said it was the one beer to have when you're having more than one. Blackstone could testify to that. The cold beer chilled him all the way down to his softening belly. That sounded like a 16-pound bowling ball.
If they don't settle down, I'll chuck their asses outside.
Andrea snatched up her blanket and dropped into the chair next to him.
You'll do no such thing. It's pitch black and cold out there. You want Brian to get sick again?
No, of course I don't.
Brian had just gotten over a hell of a case of chicken pox. He had more bumps on his skin than a West Virginia highway. They had to put socks over his hands to stop him from scratching and popping the sores. Being a 10-year-old, he was not enthralled with their solution. The doctor and medication had cost a pretty penny. The last thing Blackstone wanted to do was add a visit to one of those skin doctors to the ledger, so he told him to suck it up. The socks were off now, and Brian was feeling good enough to go back to school on Monday. His best friend, Noel, had been asking daily when he could come over.
You may have had a bad day, but Brian has had a bad week.
I know. All that talk about capping salaries has my blood boiling. That place is making money hand over fist, and the greedy asshole owners want more. So how do they get it? By taking it from the little guys. We got a meeting with the union officials next week.
The union won't let it happen. No sense giving yourself a stroke thinking about it.
If there's a strike...
He bit his tongue. Andrea was right. There was no reason to keep harping on it. There'd be plenty of time later if and when the shit hit the fan. Blackstone tried to settle down, remembering what it was like when he was the same age. Then Charlie's Angels came back on, with a close-up of Jacqueline Smith, and all of his thoughts were derailed. He drank his beer and indulged in his weekly fantasies. Before he knew it, the show was over, and Vegas was getting ready to start.
You have to walk Noel home.
Noel had been granted a special late curfew just this Wednesday because he'd missed his friends so much. Plus, tomorrow was a half day in school, some kind of teacher's special meeting. Not much schoolwork would be getting done. Noel only lived 10 houses down the street, but somehow Blackstone had been roped into walking the kid home tonight. He drained the rest of his beer and dropped it in the garbage. He could still smell Andrea's chicken casserole. His stomach grumbled, eyeing the refrigerator.
I'll be back for you in a few.
A spoonful of cold casserole would soak up the booze and prevent a hangover. Slipping a Schaefer in his pocket for the walk, he marched upstairs.
Thank you, Marty.
The door to Brian's bedroom was closed. There were drawings of space battles from Star Wars taped all over it. Blackstone stood there for a moment, admiring the latest one. It showed two X-Wing fighters engulfed in flames, spiraling into a nearby planet. The kid was good. Maybe he should get him to draw that turtle they always advertised to see if he could make it into art school. The only flaw in the drawing was in the science of it.
You can't have flames in space.
The shit he knew thanks to his subscription to Popular Mechanics. It was probably a good idea to encourage Brian to start reading it too. He'd be a man someday, and men needed to know all kinds of shit. He opened the door without knocking. Brian's Star Wars figures were all over the floor. There was a cardboard box that had been cut up and pasted back together with etchings on the side so it looked like the big garbage collector that the little Jawas rode around in, searching for scrap metal and droids. There was way too much Star Wars trivia rolling around his head for his taste. It was all the kid talked about. They'd gone to the movie to see it 5 times. He couldn't remember ever seeing a movie 5 times, not even the ones he loved, like The Bridge on the River Kwai or The French Connection. He kept praying Star Wars would fade away and finally get pulled from the theater. But so far, God wasn't listening. Or if he was, he was taking a great delight in Blackstone's suffering. Brian and Noel were huddled together, making Luke and Vader have a lightsaber fight. The boys looked so much alike it was scary. Same black hair, same bowl cut, both small for their age with knobby knees. No wonder they'd become inseparable.
Okay, guys, time for Noel to head on home.
Aww. Oh, Dad.
Martin only smiled, shrugging as if to say, "Don't blame me. I didn't make the rules on this one." Cold Schaefer's had definitely mellowed him a bit.
Can he stay for another half hour, please?
Your mother promised he'd be home at 10. Come on, time's ticking.
Tonight's episode of Vegas was a rerun, so he didn't mind missing it. He could always catch the tail end of the CBS movie and zone out before heading up to bed.
Fine.
You want to see what I got for Brian, Mr. Blackstone?
Sure, but only if it doesn't take too long.
It won't.
The boys pushed the toys and the comics on the floor around, searching. Noel uncovered a pair of black glasses and handed them to him.
Glasses?
More than that. They're X-ray glasses. I ordered them from a comic book weeks ago. They just came in the mail today. I got one for me and one for Brian.
The cheap plastic glasses were light as a feather. Blackstone expected to see the usual red spiral painted on the lens to give the illusion of something strange and mysterious happening to the wearer. These lenses were clear and dark, like sunglasses.
Yeah, but they don't really work. Kind of gave me a headache.
That's because you have to get used to them. The manual said the more you wear them, the deeper you'll see.
More likely you'll go cross-eyed. How much do they cost?
$1 each.
He flipped the glasses onto the ruffled bed.
Well, at least you're not out of a lot of money.
Noel got into his coat, tucking his own glasses in his pocket.
It kind of hurt my head, too, but I'm going to stick with it.
You know what they say. No pain, no gain. Hey, clean up this mess before your mother gets up here. She'll have a fit.
I know.
Yeah, he knows. The kid spent half his life punished because he didn't do all the things he knew he should be doing. Blackstone just shook his head, leading Noel down the stairs.
Goodbye, Mrs. Blackstone!
Andrea looked up from her baby blanket.
Good night, Noel. Thanks for cheering Brian up.
The walk to Noel's house was bitterly cold. The first snow of winter was coming soon. Blackstone could smell it. He dropped the kid off, exchanged a few pleasantries with Noel's father, who was the manager of a health food store in the next town over, and headed back home. He took his time, sipping the beer along the way. Before he went inside, he dropped the beer can in the metal garbage pail outside. He didn't want Andrea riding his ass over his not being able to walk a single block without a beer. She didn't understand. She had a pretty cushy life. Andrea didn't need a few beers to settle down so she could sleep. As he walked in the door, she was coming down the stairs.
He's already asleep. Guess he's not ready for prime time yet.
Guess not. Well, he has 4 more days to get ready.
You never had chicken pox, did you?
Chicken pox is afraid of me.
Andrea gathered her blanket and yarn and needles in a canvas bag and kissed the top of his balding head.
I'm going up. Don't stay up too late. You don't get to stay home from school tomorrow.
Don't remind me. I'm just gonna watch a little bit of the news.
He watched her leave in her baggy sweatpants and oversized shirt. He missed the days of lingerie, or even better, birthday suits. Having a kid had a way of changing all that. Another Schaefer would have been nice, but he made it a point not to drink a full sixer on weeknights. It helped make the weekend special. There was nothing good on TV, so he flipped through the Reader's Digest until the 11 o'clock news. It started out with the latest namby-pamby nonsense being spewed by the president. Hearing anything about Jimmy Carter set his teeth on edge, so he decided to call it a night. He peeked in on Brian, nestled so deep under his Fantastic Four comforter that only the top of his head was visible. His X-ray glasses were on the floor. Blackstone picked them up and put them on. He'd always wanted a pair when he was a kid, but his parents refused to get them. The room darkened, and it felt as if his eyes were being stretched. That was the only way he could describe it. A headache instantly bloomed around his forehead.
Now that's a look.
Andrea shuffled down the hall to the bathroom in her puffy pink robe.
X-ray specs. Noel bought a pair for Brian.
They look like sunglasses, not X-ray glasses.
Not that there's any such thing as X-ray glasses.
Well, for what it's worth, they make you look kind of cool. Like back when you used to wear those Wayfarers when we were dating.
The pain in his forehead skittered to his temples. Still, he kept them on. He couldn't remember the last time Andrea had said he looked cool.
You want to cruise around in my Mustang?
I'll settle for our Buick.
She slipped into the bathroom. But before she disappeared from view, Blackstone thought he saw something that shouldn't have been. He could have sworn he caught a glimpse of her ratty pajamas under her closed robe.
Huh?
Another day, another buck. Blackstone's sweat turned to ice the moment he stepped out of the boiling factory into the cold. Everyone's breath came out in great, thick clouds as they filed into the parking lot.
You coming over for car Saturday night?
Jack Fortman tossed his metal lunch pail into his car, a Dodge Dart with black primer on 2 of the quarter panels.
Does a Pope shit in the woods? Bring beer and peanuts.
Just don't get those ones with the shell that are salted. I gotta watch my blood pressure. Though I'm sure the union meeting will bring on full heart failure.
Then you should try winning a hand every now and then.
That's why I need to make sure you're coming.
Come on. Come on.
Blackstone flipped the heat on full blast, trying to thaw out. There was an accident on I-98 going home, so a 20-minute drive took over an hour. Andrea was there to greet him at the door. She took his coat and lunch pail.
I heard about the traffic on the radio.
Yeah, it was great.
She led him to the kitchen.
Here's a beer. I had to put dinner in the oven to keep it warm. I didn't know when you'd be home.
Hey, Dad.
Brian was eating from a foil TV dinner tray. They'd long given up the fight trying to get him to eat normal food. The kid had about 4 taste buds. TV dinners with veal cutlet, mashed potatoes, and something they called a hot brownie accounted for 3 of them.
Don't you ever get sick of that?
Why would I?
It was a good question. Brian knew the things he liked, and he could indulge in them every day without thinking about all the other stuff he could be missing. Blackstone sometimes envied his son.
You couldn't at least wait for me?
I was starving.
He smelled the pot roast and roasted potatoes, and his own hunger went into overdrive.
Yeah, me too.
Dinner was a quiet affair. Andrea knew he needed time to unwind, and with Brian home, there was no school to talk about. When Blackstone was done, he went upstairs to smoke a cigarette while he took his post-dinner shit. It was the little things in life that made getting up in the morning worth it. Going to his bedroom to change, he saw the X-ray glasses on his bedside table. He put them there last night, but had forgotten until now that strange glimpse of his wife's pajamas under her robe.
Ah, must have been the beer.
He put them back on, and instantly...
Ow.
Again, there was that feeling of his eyes being pulled like taffy.
You like them, Dad?
Yeah, like is a very strong word.
You can keep them. They stink, but they do make you look like a policeman.
He pointed his finger at his son, like a gun.
Freeze, you're under arrest. So you thought you'd get away with it, didn't you?
Brian held his hands up high.
I confess, I stole all the Swedish fish at the corner store.
I always knew I'd nab you, Swedish fish bandit.
When he spied his alarm clock, he saw it was almost time for Mark and Mindy. A little mindless entertainment was exactly what he needed tonight, although Brian had done a good job taking the edge off.
How about instead of jail, you get me a beer and some potato chips?
Okay.
The one job Brian liked to do was getting his mother and father their drinks and snacks before TV time. Blackstone plopped into his lounger, the beer and chips already on the table. He lit up a Marlboro.
You're wearing those things again?
What?
The glasses.
Oh, Christ, I forgot I had them on.
The sensation must have worn off while he was goofing with Brian.
How can you even see with them on?
He stared at her standing by the grandfather clock. Everything looked a lot darker last night when he tried them on. It wasn't so bad now.
Cool guys don't need to see.
Or crazy people.
When she moved to take her seat, for just a split second, he was able to see her bra underneath her wool turtleneck. And just like that, it was gone.
You all right?
I just went down the wrong pipe.
He looked back at her, staring at her chest, though she couldn't tell behind the dark glasses. All he saw now was a sea of itchy wool.
Are you going to watch TV with those things on?
No, of course not.
He took the glasses off, folded them, and put them by the ashtray. Mark and Mindy came on, but all he could think about was that brief, crystal-clear glimpse of Andrea's bra. Friday's been a quick stop at the Rusty Nail Saloon for a couple of cold ones with Jack Fortman and Joe Holes Metrano. Holes didn't work at the factory. He, in his own estimation, was a professional gambler, betting on the ponies at the OTB. Most people knew him as Holes in the Head on account of the dumb bets he made. The only reason he wasn't living in a cardboard box was because he still hung his clothes in the bedroom he'd grown up in. His mother made sure to take very good care of him.
First round's on me.
Blackstone and Fortman grabbed a couple of stools at the bar.
You must have hit, Holes.
Blackstone held up two fingers to the bartender. He still couldn't remember the guy's name. He'd only started a month ago, but the kid already knew which beer they preferred. Nothing beat an ice-cold Schlitz on tap.
Got the Exacta in the fifth at Aqueduct. Then I hit a box triple in the seventh at Yonkers. I'm loaded, fellas.
Payout couldn't have been that much. Unless you played one of your insane long shots.
Holes didn't let Fortman rain on his parade.
If that's the case, you can get the next round working stiff.
They settled into their usual banter, bitching about the Giants, that panty waist Carter, and the shitstorm brewing at the factory. The Rusty Nail started to fill up, the happy hour crowd pouring in for cheap drinks and pickled eggs.
I gotta take a piss.
I think I'll join you.
Oh, what are you, some kind of woman? You guys don't go to the bathroom together?
They do when they both have to take a leak. Marty, order another round and tell them to put it on my tab. You're nice, so you get a free ride tonight.
Blackstone wagged a finger at Fortman.
See? Being mean doesn't pay.
Fortman flipped him the bird and angled through the crowd, holes on his heels. Reaching into his pocket, Blackstone retrieved the plastic X-ray specs. He brought them, hoping for a moment like this. What better way to truly test them than at a bar full of good-looking chicks? It was one thing to sneak a peek at Andrea's bra. He'd seen that and everything underneath more times than he could count. Now, if they really worked and he wasn't losing his mind, this was going to be his finest hour at the Rusty Nail. He just had to do it fast before the guys returned and wondered why the hell he was wearing sunglasses inside. He slipped them on, blinked hard twice. His eyeballs waddled in their sockets. It was so distracting, he almost ripped them right off. Then a pretty redhead who couldn't have been older than 24 sauntered by. She didn't even notice him, but he couldn't help but see the black panties she wore under her skirt.
Whoa.
His heart jumped. His eyes stayed glued to her panties until she disappeared into the crowd.
Holy shit, it really works.
Scanning the crowd, he spotted a smiling brunette with long feathered hair. She was sipping what looked to be a Manhattan, standing by one of the small round tables along the side of the tavern. His eyes traveled down from her smile to the frilly bra under her black shirt. He looked down even lower, but his view was blocked by the table and a guy sitting opposite her. A quick attempt to see her panties resulted in a clear view of the guy's tidy whities.
Oh.
Blackstone slammed his eyes shut, turning away. It was just as well, as he spotted Holes walking back. He quickly took off the glasses and jammed them into his pocket.
You lose, Jack?
That guy pisses like a broken faucet. He may be there until last call.
Fortman eventually returned, and they had one last beer, knowing they were going to see each other again tomorrow at poker. It was dark out when Blackstone got to his car. He put on the glasses. Damn, too dark to see. He couldn't drive with them on. It would have been nice to see what he could glimpse walking the streets, though. Plenty of people were out, ambling from bar to bar. There was always tomorrow.
How the hell are these things working?
He'd have to consult the pile of back issues of Popular Mechanics this weekend. Maybe there was something in there that touched on some breakthrough development in X-ray technology that he'd somehow glossed over.
You have a nice time?
Yeah, just beachy.
He put his clothes in the closet.
Pizza's in the oven. I'll get you a slice. You want meatball or sausage and onions?
One each.
He settled into his chair. Friday nights were a whole different ritual. Pizza night meant Andrea and Brian ate early. Not waiting for him to return from the Rusty Nail on account of some Friday nights, he didn't get home until it was technically Saturday. As Andrea walked into the kitchen, he put on the X-ray specs. She was wearing her special panties with the lace edges. He knew what that meant. Blackstone felt his skin flush with anticipation. It was kind of nice knowing what was to come. The glasses were tucked between his legs and the chair cushion before she returned with his pizza.
Just let me know if you want another slice.
Her fingers brushed the hair behind his ear. Drinks with the boys, ogling strange women's underwear, pizza, and now a little Friday night boogie in the bedroom. What had he done to deserve this? And what was Noel seeing with his glasses? Blackstone made it a point to make sure the kid never wore them while he was in the house. He didn't need that twerp salivating over Andrea. Saturdays were always a rough start. The only thing good about waking up with a hangover was knowing the day could only get better as it moved along. Blackstone was having a tough time seeing the bright side of things at the moment. He woke up to a jackhammer in his skull, mouth dry as confetti, stomach feeling like it had up and died. That damn woodpecker was banging away on the dead tree in the yard again. Each strike of its beak, a spike in Blackstone's skull.
Oh, drop dead already.
Reaching a hand out, he felt Andrea's side of the bed empty. He dared to open one eye and saw it was past 11. He had to take a piss, but was having a hard time willing his body up and out of bed. Eventually, the desire not to wet the sheets like a baby trumped the need to burrow under them and not move a muscle for a few more hours. He shuffled downstairs to the smell of bacon. Brian sat in front of the TV watching cartoons. Normally, he'd sit and watch it with Brian, but not today. Not when he was feeling like a dog that had been run over flat by a semi.
Shouldn't you be sweeping?
Sweeping around the outside of the house was Brian's solitary chore on Saturday mornings. It was now almost noon, and the kid was still zoning out in front of the TV. His son looked at him with barely concealed horror. Blackstone had seen his reflection in the bathroom mirror and couldn't blame him.
I was going to do it after Looney Tunes.
Show's over. Sweep and go find your friends. Come home when your mother calls you for dinner.
Brian stomped past him.
And no bringing anyone over here to play. Oh!
He jumped at the touch on his shoulder.
Someone's chipper today.
Andrea carried a loaded laundry basket. Her hair was tied up under a bandana.
Is there coffee?
As my husband would say, does the Pope shit in the woods? There's leftover bacon on the table, too.
Oh, thanks.
Good thing we had our fun before you finished all that beer.
It sure had been fun. Blackstone, knowing she had her sexy panties on ahead of time, had been ready and waiting. By the time Brian fell asleep and Andrea moved to sit on his lap, he was ravenous. He squeezed her butt cheek before shuffling to the kitchen.
Maybe we can try again tonight.
She ruffled his hair. He thought his skull might shatter into bits.
We'll see. Right now, I don't think you could handle it.
As she went up the stairs to put away the clothes, Brian passed her running outside and avoiding eye contact with his father. That was the garage door open. The sweet sound of Brian sweeping the front steps. He'd always hated sweeping himself, which was why he delegated that chore to his son a year ago in exchange for his allowance. That allowance afforded Brian a slice of pizza at Willie's Pizzeria and an afternoon at pinball. He thought it was a pretty fair exchange. After grabbing a cup of coffee and loading bacon on a buttered roll, he headed back into the living room and opened one of the living room windows a crack and sank into his lounger, letting the cool air wake him.
Ow.
He felt something jab his leg and saw it was the X-ray specs. He almost put them on, but wasn't sure his hangover headache could handle the X-ray specs eye yank. He waited until he ate his breakfast, had another cup of coffee and a glass of water to wash down two aspirins. Andrea was upstairs cleaning the bathroom. Standing at the kitchen sink, he looked out into their small, perfectly square yard. His neighbor, Franny, was outside watching her poodle run around. Franny was a recent divorcee who'd moved into the downstairs apartment in the house behind them a year ago. She was pushing 40, but looked 30, with long auburn hair and a cigarette perpetually between her lips. Blackstone slipped on the glasses.
Oh, hello there.
It looked like Franny had decided not to wear a bra today. Her small breasts were still pert despite the years, nipples puckered from the cold. He looked over the glasses and saw she was wearing a thin coat over her sweater. Smoke hung over her like a cloud. Then he looked through the glasses to stare at her tits until she turned around and took her poodle inside.
Now that's a sure hangover cure.
Taking the glasses off,
ow.
He winced as the arms pressed on the sides of his head. His face must be swollen from all that drinking. He massaged the bridge of his nose. He needed a hot shower to fix one of the kitchen cabinets today, and he had to bounce back so he could play poker later tonight. And maybe he'd take a stroll around the block with the X-ray specs just to do some further scientific testing.
I'm heading to the corner store to get a pack of cigarettes. You need anything?
We could use some butter and a can of tomato soup.
Andrea had finally taken a break, sitting at the kitchen table flipping through a magazine. Piping hot coffee close at hand.
Butter, soup, got it.
Blackstone put on his winter coat, making sure the glasses were in his pocket.
Good work on the cabinet. I knew I kept you around for something.
You keep doing what you did last night, and I'll stay around.
The weatherman said it would snow on Monday. Asshole was usually wrong. Felt more like snow on Sunday to Blackstone. Walking up the street to the corner store, he put the X-ray specs on. The bright day got a little duller, but not as dark as the glasses made things just the day before. He really didn't need more cigarettes. He still had half a carton in the basement, but he needed an excuse to walk around. Because of the cold, the block was quiet. No matter. This wasn't about seeing more boobs and underthings, although that would have been a bonus. He knew that already worked. No. Now it was on to even bigger things. He paused outside Mr. Otello's house, a two-family brick behemoth the old man kept meticulously. Blackstone stared hard at the first floor of the house. After 10 seconds, all he could see was brick. He tried the door. The wood grew fuzzy for a moment, but he couldn't see past it.
So much for that.
A few houses away, he stopped beside a metal mailbox secured to the fence outside Mrs. O'Hanlon's yard. This time, he was able to peer through the thin aluminum and see the stack of mail and folded magazines inside.
Maybe the material can't be too thick.
He spotted some cardboard in Mrs. O'Hanlon's garbage. Walking past the fence, he plucked the cardboard out and placed it in front of the statue of the Virgin Mary she put next to her birdbath. It only took a few seconds to laser right through the cardboard. He could easily see the crack in Mary's face, from the time Steve Liebert walloped it with an errant football, hoping Mrs. O'Hanlon hadn't seen him rooting through her garbage and messing with her holy statue, he dashed out of the yard.
Hey, Martin, can you do me a favor?
Willie Riley stared at him. Somehow the neighborhood's octogenarian had managed to sneak up on him like an Indian tracker.
Oh, hi, Willie. What was that?
You heading to the corner store?
Blackstone made the mistake of looking at the man, dressed in tan slacks that had seen better days, and an old pea coat that had more holes than a wedge of Swiss cheese. In a flash, he saw right down to the man's stained underwear, the yellow ring around his flaccid penis revolting enough to make Blackstone stagger.
You all right?
Blackstone whipped the glasses off.
Yeah, nursing a hangover.
I wish I could drink enough to get a hangover. It's too cold for me to walk up there, but I really need milk, salami, and a loaf of bread. You think you could get it for me? Here's $5. You can even keep the change.
Blackstone shivered, not from the cold, but from the horror of what he'd just accidentally seen. The last thing he wanted was to be everyone's errand boy. But you didn't say no to Willie when he asked you for a little help.
Sure, Willie, sure. Except you're getting your change. Boss said I'm not allowed to take tips.
Thanks a lot, Martin. You're a good kid.
Hands in his pockets as he rushed to the corner store, Blackstone thought, these glasses giveth, and they certainly taketh away.
What it'll be, fellas? A little 5-card stud or a 7-card draw?
Fortman had an unlit cigar crammed in the corner of his mouth. Blackstone, Holes, Harry Rondo, and Benny Hartman from the factory sat around the kitchen table. Gold cans of Schaefer sat next to each fresh pile of chips, cigarette smoke filling the room.
I'm feeling 5-card stud.
7-card draw it is.
It was always best to go with the opposite of whatever Holes said.
Who the heck do you think you are? Greta Garbo?
Rondo gestured at Blackstone's glasses. Blackstone had already crafted the perfect lie on the ride over.
Had my eyes dilated at the optometrist. He said I had to keep these on for the rest of the day.
You're gonna make me feel bad. Taking money from a blind guy.
Shh, I won't. All right, feed the kitty and let's play.
When everyone lifted their cards, careful not to let the people next to him see, Blackstone nearly yelped with excitement. Playing cards were thin, so he knew he'd be able to see through them. But he worried that he'd see through them and not be able to make out what was printed on the other side. The moment he spied the pair of deuces in Holes' hands, he dropped all concern that tonight would be a bust. Just be patient, he reminded himself. He let Fortman win the first hand, as well as the second. Their host crowed like he was some kind of Vegas big shot. Holes took the next hand with a full house. Queens over fours. Blackstone stayed in despite only having a pair of jacks. He'd seen the hustler a few times and knew how to play this, and he was pretty sure the guys wouldn't break his hands at the end of the night. Despite knowing every card being played in every hand, he let a half hour go by before making his move. Seeing that Rondo was bluffing with only a pair of sevens, Blackstone ran up the pot, trumping him with 3 9s. From that point on, he made it a point to win 1 out of 3 hands, always getting the guys to throw a little more money in the pot. 2 hours later, Holes folded for the night, tossing his cards in disgust.
That's it. I'm tapped.
Me too. Looks like tonight was your night, Marty.
Guess I was due.
Rondo hit his arm at the back of his hand.
Hell, you were overdue. I was starting to look at you as my personal bank, withdrawals only.
Only Fortman didn't laugh. He knew he'd counted his chickens before they'd hatched, and he was none too happy about the turn of events. Hole slipped into his coat.
Maybe next time I should get my eyes dilated. Maybe they'll give me a pair of X-ray glasses, right?
Blackstone choked on a good lungful of Marlboro Red. It took him a moment to realize Holes was only kidding, not outing him.
Yeah, I'll give you my eye guy's number.
At last night's card game, Blackstone had made sure not to drink too much. He wanted to be up bright and early to continue with his experimentation. For once, he got up before Andrea and even Brian, creeping down the stairs, clutching the glasses. Over orange juice and toast, he marveled at the X-ray specs. There was no way in hell they should work. The technology of 1978, he was damn sure, wasn't up to the point of being able to peddle such a miracle for a buck, or even $1 million. After breakfast, he went to the basement, zeroing in on the leaning stack of Popular Mechanics magazines. He'd been a subscriber ever since he was a kid and held on to every issue. His logic was that sooner or later the Reds were going to drop a nuke on America. Within the pages of those magazines were the blueprints on how to build things. The survivors, and he planned to be one of them, would need that knowledge more than cash or gold if they wanted to crawl out from under the rubble and thrive. Sitting in the old shop chair, he grabbed the one on top and scanned the table of contents, looking for any articles on X-rays. He was 20 or so issues in when...
You down there, Marty?
Just working on a couple of things. Thought I'd get an early start.
That's good. Do you want to come to church with Brian and me?
Not a chance. Nice try, though.
He heard her walk away, resigned to the fact that her husband was a heathen. The next issue had a brief side article on advances in hospital X-ray protection for technicians, but not quite what he was looking for. Then, a terrible idea came to him. Setting the magazine aside, he bounded up the basement steps. Andrea was poking a spoon in a grapefruit.
On second thought, I will come.
Really?
He made sure to rub his right eye, reddening it.
Yeah, you finally wore me down.
I might have to wear my special dress to mark the occasion. Hey, what's wrong with your eye?
Blackstone leaned against the wall.
I probably got some grit in it from sanding some wood. It hurts like hell. I think I'll try to rinse it out and see if that helps.
Okay, but we need to be ready to leave in half an hour. Brian's already up, brushing his teeth.
I'll be ready. Hope the place doesn't get struck by lightning.
There's a very strong possibility.
There'd be a lot of women in church, all packed into one place. What he was praying for was definitely not on God's approval list. The last time Blackstone had been to church had been in his wedding 12 years ago. He'd been so drunk standing on the altar that he barely remembered any of it. Sitting in the middle pew with the organ blasting, he made it a point not to look at the rotund church lady sitting next to him. Now the cutie two rows up wearing the black lace bra and panties, that was another story. In fact, the entire congregation was laid bare to him. He just had to be careful where he looked. Andrea gave his hand a gentle squeeze, looking up and smiling at him. He smiled back, seeing she'd worn her plain church bra, the cheap one that was all about function, not form. It covered her chest like an umpire's protective vest. Even Brian was beaming, happy to finally have his father included in the misery, Blackstone surmised.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Your eye feeling any better?
A little. The glasses are keeping the lights from making it worse.
He lied, but it was a lie told in the interest of science. At least, that's what he convinced himself. Everything about this was so bad. It was one thing to look through women's clothes around the neighborhood. Even a lapsed Catholic like him saw the depravity of being a peeping Tom in a church, surrounded by his wife and son. What the hell is wrong with him? Maybe he should just cut it out and take the damn things off. His fingertips grazed the glasses wherein a new development presented itself. He happened to be looking down at the back of the pew. Only now he was able to see through the wood to the flowered underpants of the nun sitting in front of him. Fascinated, not at the nun's choice of underwear, but that he could now see through the much thicker wood he left them on. Blackstone didn't hear a single word that was said for the rest of the mass. He just kept looking around, seeing things that titillated him and others that made him cringe. He was especially astonished when staring at the altar. He was able to penetrate through the thick slab of granite, then the priest's robes and pants. The second the fruit of the looms came into focus, he shifted his gaze, settling on a buxom woman across the aisle.
Go in peace.
Andrea snapped him back to reality when she patted his hand.
See? That wasn't so bad, was it?
No, I can't say that it was.
And the church didn't burn down. Can we go to the bakery now?
Blackstone walked down the aisle, eyes glued to the bottom of a woman who had come to church naked as a jaybird under her polyester pantsuit. It wasn't much of an ass, but he'd been married so long, he was like a starving man feasting on an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Earth to Marty.
Huh?
Will you take us to the bakery? I want to get one of those crumb buns.
Yeah, sure. Crumb buns.
All through the drive to the bakery, he found he could see through the metal of the cars around him, catching quick glimpses of folks in their skivvies. By the time they left the bakery, even underwear had become transparent. It was like walking around a nudist colony, except everyone was bundled up in the frigid air.
I think I'm gonna take a nap.
Jesus can wear a man out.
He ignored her, heading upstairs.
Holy Christ! That was incredible!
He sat on the edge of his bed. He wasn't lying about needing a nap. The morning had sapped him of all his energy. Laying back on his pillows, he almost forgot to take off the glasses. They pinched his temples, something fierce, almost hurting when they slid off.
Ah!
The brightness of the bedroom stung his naked eyes. He slammed his lid shut, the phantom feeling of the glasses still pressing on the sides of his head while he fell into a restless sleep.
3PO, we have to find R2. Uncle Owen is gonna kill me if I lose a droid.
When he awoke, Brian was in his room with the door open, reenacting one of the scenes from Star Wars with his landspeeder skipping across the carpet. Despite the two-hour nap, Blackstone still felt tired and achy.
Keep an eye out for the sand people.
His temples and bridge of his nose felt especially sore. He crossed over to Brian's room.
Hey.
Hi, Dad. You want to play? You could be the sand people.
No, not now. I got a headache. I wanted to ask you, where did Noel get those X-ray glasses?
From a comic book ad.
Can you show me?
Yeah, they have them in like every issue.
Brian opened up a dresser drawer that had been converted to his comic book storage space. It was packed with 4 stacks of comic books. Blackstone saw covers for Silver Surfer, The Avengers, Green Lantern, and The Amazing Spider-Man. He handed him a few issues of X-Men.
The ads are always near the back.
Blackstone flipped through the comic, marveling at the level of artwork. Comic books had come a long way since he was a kid. He saw a guy with claws coming out of his hands cutting a robot in half. Crazy shit. He found the ad just before the last page. It was a full-page listing of all kinds of cheap, useless crap that kids could pester their parents for, only to be disappointed when they were delivered 10 to 12 weeks later. In it were offers to learn karate in just 4 short lessons, a 6-foot glow-in-the-dark monster ghost that could float in the air, 1,000 soldiers complete with tanks and fighter jets, a hypnotism coin, and even a diamond ring for only $20. But the centerpiece of the ad was the scientific wonder X-ray glasses. There was a picture of a man wearing plastic sunglasses looking through the wall of a house at the silhouette of a woman. The caption beneath it read, "It seems impossible, but see for yourself. You'll never look at the world the same way again. Great at parties. Fun for hours. Send a self-addressed stamped envelope and $1 to Honor & Smith Company, P.O. Box 232, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Money back guarantee."
I really thought they'd work. I keep telling Noel he should write to them and get his money back, just like it says in the ad.
Odds are they'll never even open the letter, much less send him his $2 back. Them's the breaks, pal. These places are run by scam artists.
Well, at least they make good sunglasses, right?
At least they do that. Yep. I'm gonna go downstairs and watch some TV. Carry on, Luke Skywalker.
He didn't realize until he'd gone to the couch that he still had the comic in his hand. And he wondered what the Honor & Smith Company would say if he told them what he'd been seeing with their gag gift. He bet they'd pay him a hell of a lot more than a buck to get their hands on them.
What did you do to your face?
Andrea sat next to him on the couch, gingerly touching his temples. Blackstone flinched, backing away from her touch.
What do you mean? I just got up from my nap.
I think those glasses are too tight. You have deep red depressions on the sides of your head and your nose. I don't think you should wear them again. It looks painful.
He got up and went to the mirror over the TV console. She was right. It almost looked like someone had drawn a partial outline of the X-ray specs on his face with a red pen.
See?
I'll live.
Maybe I should throw them out.
Just leave them be.
Fine. It's your face.
She opened up a magazine while he turned on the TV. Neither of them said another word for the next hour. The weatherman was right for a change. By Monday morning, the first snow of the season had started to fall. They were only supposed to get a few inches, not enough to close school, which deflated Brian's hopes for one more day at home. The factory would have been open even if there had been 2 feet. The Buick slid all over the road, barely able to get traction on the slick blacktop. Blackstone caught flack from Fortman about Saturday night, with a half-hearted accusation of cheating thrown in for good measure.
Why the hell would I cheat?
Maybe because you were sick of having your ass handed to you?
You're just upset that I pissed on your little victory dance.
Maybe a little. I need a new snowblower. Got my eyes on this one at Sears. I thought Saturday night I'd have the dough to get it.
Maybe next snowstorm. You wouldn't need it for this one anyway.
It was time to get back to work. Blackstone had the X-ray specs in his coat pocket back in his locker. He planned to go into town for a bit before heading home. There was a very particular place he had in mind to visit.